Hey guys, welcome to the second edition of the All the Things podcast. I'm your host, Mike, here tonight with Gavin. Say hello, Gavin.
Hello.
I've got the Darrens. Say hello, Darrens.
What's up? I'm a lot more drunk than I was last time. I'm feeling great.
And we've also got the Sasquatch God himself, Steven. Hey, Steven, how you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
Doing great. Now, this is the Halloween edition of the podcast. We're having a party right now. Actually, I'd say
people
actually
winding down from the party.
Yeah, it's more like the tail end of a party. And, you know, I guess we just had to record a podcast at some point. So we're like, fuck it, we're going to do it.
So a drunk podcast.
The first of well, we've done it in Astromcast before. We did a St. Paddy's episode a long time ago. Known to some as the Mass Effect podcast, because that's all we fucking talked about.
Which one?
Yeah. Well, that's why we had five episodes of nothing but Mass Effect. I think we tried to talk WoW one time, and it never fucking happened.
It didn't pan out very well.
No. So, anybody, what do you guys been doing this week? Anything of interest?
I've been playing Battlefield 3. I'm having fun with that.
I know we've been waiting a long time for that fucking game to come out, man. How are you enjoying it so far?
I'm actually having a lot of fun with it. I mean, there's a few bugs in it, but it's only the first week. Give some time. They'll fix them.
Does it feel like Battlefield 2, but with better graphics?
I never really got into the first. I never really got into Battlefield 2.
Heresy.
Heresy.
Everybody played Battlefield 2.
Everyone.
I mean, I played a little bit with you guys at CGC, but that was it. For the most part, when it first came out, my computer was a piece of shit, so I never really ran it. But it's a lot of fun. I'd say it's a lot like Bad Company, you can blow the living fuck out of everything. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can't wait to play it. I need a better computer to do it, though.
Sorry, I'm eating Sour Patch Kids. Cameron and I were actually talking about the realism in Battlefield 3. And he was talking about, you know, like when he pulls, you know, he's telling me, because I haven't seen it all the way through, but he was playing the campaign and he was talking about some of the shit that you see in it and some of the stuff they do. And like he's telling at one point, I think like a building collapses and you're, you know, all hazy and whatnot and it's all messed up. And you see just some dude walk by and there's a Marine and he's like, fuck you, get away, get away, get away. And they just pick him up and slit his throat. And apparently it's like very graphic and just right in front of you and whatnot.
It's fucking hardcore.
Anyway, you know, when it's like, oh, wow, that's, you know, but it's like, and when I watch him play the game and whatnot, and some of it kind of gets to a point where it's like, I wonder where it'll hit a point where it's so realistic that I'm actually a little bothered by it. Even just the stuff he's told me about and the few things I've watched, it's like, yeah, okay, it's a game. I get that it's a game. But I feel like it's going to hit a point where it's like, I'm almost not okay with this anymore.
Did you guys ever hear about the whole 7 days in Fallujah thing?
Uh-uh.
There was a game that they were developing a couple, I won't say year, it was in the last year, I think. There was a game called 7 days in Fallujah that kind of covered the whole conflict that went on in Fallujah in Iraq. And if anyone's not aware of that, it was basically a really long, bloody battle. Took a few days where, you know, a lot of people were killed and injured and that type of stuff. So one of the video game companies, and I don't know who it was, Electronic Arts, Activision, one of the fucking big companies, they wanted to make a game out of it, and they ended up canceling it because they felt it to be a little bit insensitive to people who are actually in the military right now. So that kind of hits a chord very similar to that, where it hits a point where, is this being insensitive, or is it just, you know, it's how games are nowadays. You know, it's pull no punches, you know.
I think Gavin wants to say something.
Sensitivity, I mean, it's like kind of like Modern Warfare 2. They pull back, right before they debuted it, they pull back the name of multiplayer for, they didn't name terrorists, they named them Coalition because they thought it was insensitive to the Marines. If you got shot by a terrorist, it's kind of insensitive.
Now, were they calling it terrorists or insurgents?
They would call it terrorists.
Terrorists, okay.
Actually, well, it was for, Medal of Honor, that's what it was.
Oh, that's right.
That's right, that whole Medal of Honor fiasco.
I think it was actually called, Taliban, actually.
Taliban, that's what it was. It's very insensitive. It was like,
actually called it Taliban.
Well, and,
actually banned it from, military stations, the GameStops, military bases, like, I'm assuming Dan would probably know this, around Pendleton and stuff like that. They pulled it.
Yeah.
GameStop's on base wouldn't sell it.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
It wasn't even that I was particularly bothered necessarily by it being like, oh, this is immoral or it's insensitive or anything. It was just like,
respect.
I'm almost bothered. Well, it was almost like I'm almost bothered because I wouldn't feel comfortable killing someone in real life. And it gets to the point where, like, it's so realistic, it's like, I almost feel like I should be, you know, especially some of the knifing kills. Just the way, you know, it's like you pick someone up and fucking shove it into their chest.
Well, yeah, it's...
And it's like, I almost feel bothered, not because it's insensitive, but because this is a little too realistic.
I don't think we're there yet, though. I
don't think so, but it's...
Maybe by, like, 2015, where it's going to be, like, 3D, like, where everything's really happening and you feel like you're part of it, but right now it's still, like, it's part of the computer, not really...
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, do you think there will be a push to keep making it as realistic as possible, or do you think it'll hit a point where it's like, you know what, we should really differentiate between this is the game and this is real, and there's like a line where it's like, let's just not cross this.
I don't know, that's a tough call, because exactly what you say, it's like, where's the line across? You get to the point where it's so real, where you get shot and you see the guy next to you bleeding out and the blood's just spilling across the floor. I mean, it does get to your point, but then society itself will be built up to it. Kind of a tolerance will be built up to it. I mean, if you put BF3 into 1996 when Counter-Strike came out, people would be absurd. I mean, this is Counter-Strike was just kind of like a paintball game compared to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and in Battlefield 3, as opposed to other Battlefield games or any other game where there's a knife like Call of Duty or that type of thing, you know, rather than just running around and, you know, having your scope out like you're going to shoot someone and then to suddenly just, you know, hit the floor dead, see the kill cam and see, oh man, I just got fucking shanked. In Battlefield, you'll be sitting there, you know, staring down your iron sights and randomly it's as if someone just grabs your shoulder, pulls you back behind and jams a fucking knife in your chest.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what it's like. Someone who's actually played the game, that's exactly what it's like. But it's similar to, like, when you're actually knifing someone, when you're actually doing the knifing, I wouldn't say it's that bad as people are making it out to be. Like I said, it's like you're going up to someone, turn them around, and slitting their throat.
It's the fact that it's more realistic than it ever has been.
It is more realistic, but it's also at the same time, it's not like COD where you're just going around and you're quick knifing people. Like, it takes time. Like, I've been killed multiple times in trying to, you know, stab someone.
And it doesn't take away from the fact that the game's badass as fuck. No, it's just the fact that it's, you know, kind of a little bit more realistic than what we're used to.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that it's like, oh, this is too real for me, you know, at this point. It's just, Cameron and I have talked about where it's like, this is, you know, I mean, that's just kind of where it's going. It's like, this is getting realistic to a point where it's like, I don't know if I feel bothered by this or not. And especially because of you know, that point of view thing where, like, you're just sitting there about to snipe and all of a sudden you're ripped around and a dude's fucking shoving a knife. It's like, well, that really sucks. Like, that's kind of disturbing. But even from being the dude who's getting the kill, it's like, holy shit, maybe I need to back off. It's not just like, you know, here's a stab and...
I don't think that because, again, like I was saying earlier, it's not like you're actually, you know, you see yourself slitting the guy's throat. It's, you're pulling the dog tags off and the guy dies. It's kind of insinuated that, yeah, you're stabbing the guy. That you're, you know, you're doing this awful shit to him, but you actually don't see it happening. All you're seeing is you pull the dog tags, and it says you get a knife kill. That's really all it is.
Well, it's probably just another one of those things where it's the new hot topic. Or I'm sorry, I don't mean to fucking confuse this with the store where all the emo goth kids go. even though I kind of like that story, it's kind of the new thing. It's. You know, we've kind of, as games have evolved, they've become more realistic and they've become more similar to real life in general and how a knifing is going to go on.
But at the same time, I think as a gamer community, we've asked for that. We want to be more realistic. Oh, yeah. Like, another thing is, what I've seen was, I'll be sniping, like, there's a map where you stop on a U.S. carrier and, you know, you can see the shoreline from your boat. I'll be going down, I'll try to, you know, snipe someone, I'll have some guy lined up. Right on my sights, you know, aimed at the head, you know, about to get the kill. I fire, you know, half a second later, it hits 2 feet below his feet. So, you know, it's a lot more realistic. There's bullet drop, there's travel time. It's not like COD where you can snipe someone from halfway across the map, and, you know, just like that, they're dead.
Well, Battlefield 2 had that too, and that's just something that people expect. It's no longer, you point the crosshairs at someone's head who's fucking 2 miles away.
It's not a hit scan weapon.
Exactly. You don't fire that fucker off and it just happens to hit them. It's like, guess what? That bullet's going to drop, you know, over a 2 mile radius or 1 mile radius or however long. It's not going to go fucking straight. That's just not the way, that's not the ballistics of a bullet. So, Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited to try it. But what I was going to get at earlier is that I think that it's kind of it's the whole atmosphere of gaming now. You know, we want something that's a little bit more realistic, and I wouldn't say that we're necessarily desensitized to it. I mean, I guess we are. I mean, this is something that, you know, 50 years ago people would have a problem with, like, oh man, there's terrorists, and, you know, these guys are getting knifed in the fucking throat and all that type of shit.
Would they be desensitized? I mean, back then they were going to actual war. I mean, as men, we liked to be in combat. We liked the adrenaline rush of being in, like, collision with other people. I mean, it's just, that's how men are.
But, I mean, that's the clear definition of desensitization, as far as I'm concerned. When you look back at the movies back in the day, you never saw someone bleeding out. I mean, you watch a Western with John Wayne, someone would get shot, you never see any blood come out. They'd be like, oh, and they grab their side, and then they kind of fall over dead. And seeing all this kind of blood is just, we've seen it so much now that, in a way, we kind of are desensitized to it. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, violent crime is, especially amongst the youth, the people who are playing these video games, is down. So it's not that that being desensitized is making us a more violent generation. No. So there's nothing wrong with being desensitized. It's just that, you know, less things bother us nowadays.
I want to say it was Battlefield 1942, or it was a World War II game that I was playing, and it was one of the beach assault ones, right? You know, and where you can play as either the Germans, where you have a lot of defensive positions, and you're just trying to keep people back, and you're basically the defenders of an assault.
I know exactly which map you're talking about, too.
Okay, yeah. And I remember my
Omaha Beach,
my dad, who he was in the Marines from 58 to 62, and he came in and watched, and he's, you know, he's watching. And, I mean, he's into those kind of games. You know, he likes playing a lot of war games and whatnot, but he kind of paused for a second. He's like, are you shooting Americans? And I was like, well, I mean, you know, and for me it was just like, I'm red team, they're blue team. It was so nothing. But he didn't say like, oh, I don't think you should do that or anything like that. But there was definitely a hint of like, I'm a little bothered by that. Not like I'm bothered that you're playing this game or anything like that. But it was like, I don't know if I could bring myself to that.
Yeah.
And I know Mike and Jerry over at Penny Arcade had a similar news post to something like that. I think they asked like their grandfather or something like that. Who was like, I actually said kind of a similar thing with Battlefield 3. It's like, it'd be really interesting to get a take from someone who's in the military or someone who's maybe gone through something like this. Like, how does this make you feel that it's trying to get more and more? Like, does this bother you?
Yeah.
I've actually talked to a lot of military people, and they are completely fine with it. A lot of military people that are deployed play video games, but though, I mean, they aren't bothered by it because they are used to it. I mean, maybe because they're desensitized, but it's not really like they're people. Our generation can easily discern between what's a video game and what's reality. You don't see a blend of video game and reality. I mean, just like you said, crime's down for our generation. Maybe it's because...
Well,
it's
violent crime.
Violent crime.
Yeah. Stupid crime's still up.
As long as it's alcohol, there'd be stupid
Thanks,
crimes.
Well, I you know what, I can at least, from a personal point of view, my brother's active duty military. And I know, Dan's active duty military too. Dan spent time in Iraq, and I think he spent a lot of time on base. But my brother's been out to Afghanistan in the last year. He's going back, actually, in a couple weeks. And Afghanistan, for people who don't know, Afghanistan's like a really fucking dangerous place right now. And it has been for the last few years. I mean, ever since after we kind of started to leave Iraq alone and went back to Afghanistan, it's become incredibly fucking dangerous. And, you know, and my brother, he's not a grunt. He doesn't go out and, you know, just... He doesn't go on patrol. He doesn't put himself in that active danger all the time. But he has gone out on, you know, convoys and gone out and put himself in situations where he has been in danger. And the funny thing about that is that, you know, you would think, at least from a humanistic point of view, they'd be like, hey, you know, does it bother you being out there? You know, you could take a sniper bullet at any time. Hmm. Realistically, you know, terrorists can't shoot that well, so it's not that likely. But to put yourself in a situation where you could be shot, you could be injured, and, you know, in a very dangerous area. And the real interesting thing to me was that he enjoys it. I mean, he, or I wouldn't say enjoys it so much as that it's not a big thing to him.
It doesn't bother him.
Yeah, it's the whole Marine Corps thing of, oorah, get some, you know, get those motherfuckers.
Well, I remember when he came back from Afghanistan and he was telling us about how guys would get... Well, and Frank had told us this too, but I mean, Matt pretty much said the same thing, where guys would just grab like a PVC pipe, a grenade, and some fucking propellant, something to launch it, and just launch it. Not like, hey, let's pick a target, just anywhere at the base. you know, and his chow hall was blown up the day before he showed up. You know, and every, and I think about that from time to time, and I'm like, I don't know that I could live or do anything. I don't think I could get through a day knowing that at any given point where I am standing might not be there the next second. Like, it's just some random, because it's not like, hey, we see them coming, get ready for an incoming, you know, grenade. Or
it's not like the glorified shit we see in movies and video games.
No, ever. It's just like, hey, at some point, you might fucking die, or you're even worse, like, hey, the dude standing next to you, your buddy that you've known. And not even, like, because he was an important, you know, target, or because he was somewhere that's like, oh, that's just kind of an unfortunate place to be. It's just like, hey, guess what? Bam. Like, fuck, just terror. And it's like, I could not... I would be so traumatized by that, and he's so nonchalant about it.
Well,
and it's like, I mean, it's almost humorous to him, and it's like, holy shit.
Well, man, I don't know about your brother. I mean, I don't know if he's actually seen combat or not. I know he got, like, a ribbon for it when he was out there. I think he got a ribbon.
I'm pretty sure someone shot in his general direction at some point.
Well, I'm sure it was. But, I mean, like I said, I mean, I don't know if he actually saw, like, you know, his friends die or anything like that. I mean, He may have. I'm not entirely sure. So unfortunately, I haven't talked to him that much.
I'm pretty sure that I don't think he's. Yeah.
But I mean, when you go back to Dan, he does Casevac, which is, from what I understand, it's like, obviously, it sounds like casualty evacuation.
Yeah. So that's exactly what that is.
That's probably going to other people out there who don't know what that means.
No, I know.
But he works in the helicopter, so I'm assuming, you know, he. I know. It's faced him because he's the one that has to wash the blood out of the helicopters. You know, when they come back.
That's the worst job in the world, dude.
I could not imagine.
And I know it stays them, because, you know, we go to Disneyland all the time, and he has to get that pass, because he can't be around people, because, you know, he has that PTSD.
He's got that PTSD, yeah.
And he...
I didn't know that about him. I know he worked on helicopters.
It's definitely fucked with them.
It's slight. I mean, when we go to Disneyland and whenever there's fireworks going off and stuff...
No, I knew the PTSD. I didn't know that he cleans the helicopters. I thought he just was maintenance.
He used to.
Oh.
When right now he fixes helicopters when he's actually stationed that like out of country, you know, in Afghanistan or Iraq, wherever the hell I send him to. That's what he does. He fixes helicopters and he cleans them out.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So like I said, I mean, I know it's messed with him. Your brother, I don't know. Maybe he has, maybe he hasn't.
Yeah.
I know my cousin, he's in the Air Force. I won't say his name because I don't know if he'd want this on the internet or anything like that. He's not like a normal Air Forcer, you know. He just sits on his ass and does nothing all day. He's actually out there in the field.
You just go ahead and insult the fuck out of him, right? He's not like normal Air Force. Those lazy assholes.
You know, and unfortunately, he says the same thing about the Air Force. He says 90% of the Air Force will sit on their ass and do nothing in their entire careers.
Yeah.
He's actually out there.
I think their boot camp consists of riding a stationary bike at some point. I'm not fucking shitting
you
either.
You're not kidding about that.
No,
way?
I'm serious. Anyone who's Air Force that says that's wrong, email us at allthepodcast@gmail.com and tell us otherwise. But anyways,
we would like to know. But you know, he's actually gone out there. He's seen combat. He's lost friends. You know. I mean, he says, you know, he has the boots of, you know, one of his, you know, his fellow soldiers that, you know, has, you know, like their brain splattered on his boots. And you know, he keeps them, you know, stashed away in his room or somewhere in his house as kind of like an honor of them in terms of memory.
Yeah.
And it's definitely messed with them. I remember, you know, hanging out with them before I joined the Air Force. You can see him now, and it's phased them.
Well, I'm going to end this on a lighter note because this isn't the All the Depression podcast, and I don't want to depress you guys. But I guess a quick little story. Dan and I were at BlizzCon last week, as you guys heard on the first one. Yeah, as you guys heard in the first one. And I was at the Foo Fighters concert, rocking out like a motherfucker, having a good time. Yeah, my pants came off. I wish they did. Anyway.
The curse party is fun, though.
Moving on.
Anyways, to give you a little bit of visual how that's going on, I'm kind of staring off in the distance, whimsically, saying, man, I wish they came off. But anyways, while I was in the concert, Dan ended up taking off, because as you heard on the last one, he's, you know, Foo Fighters are all right, but they're not his, you know, his bag. So he took off, went over to the Hilton, had a couple drinks, met some Blizzard employees, ran into some fellow Marines, and one of the Marines he was talking to noticed the haircut, the fade, and asked him, hey, are you a Marine? Yeah, I am. Sat him down, had a drink with him. Bought him a drink, I should say. And as Dan got to talking with some more and started to, you know, get to know the guy a little bit better, the guy opened up to him and said, hey, I really want to meet Chris Metzen this week. That was the whole reason why I'm here. And he told him the reason was is because one of his friends who was actually deployed with him in Afghanistan was killed while he was out there. Best friend in the world. He actually said that this guy was supposed to be at BlizzCon with him.
So much for all the depression podcast.
Well, this is wait till the end of this. This is really good. So he ends up telling him, he says, my friend's supposed to be here at BlizzCon with me. And the one thing he asked on his deathbed was that he wanted to shake Chris Metzen's hand. And for those of you who don't know, Chris Metzen is basically one of the big players over at Blizzard. I want to say he's, you know, vice president or something huge. I mean, he's bigger. I can't remember the specific title, but just needless to say, he's a bad motherfucker when it comes to Blizzard. And
you cast bite.
So he told him, he said his friend wanted him to shake Chris Metzen's hand on his behalf. So Dan and this other Marine go out for a cigarette, and they're out there, you know, just kind of chilling, talking, all that kind of stuff. And they see Chris Metzen hanging out outside. So they go over to Chris Metzen, they say hello, and the one guy says, hey, I just have to tell you this. So he tells him the story he told Dan. Says, I want to shake your hand, and my buddy died in Afghanistan, blah, 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 blah. Chris Metzen takes a second, he looks at him, and he just very kind of calmly says, you know what, dude, I'm not going to shake your hand. That right there deserves a hug. And he gave the guy a hug and hugged him from what it sounded like for a while and said, I'm really sorry to hear about your friends. And from that, Chris Metzen said, you know, I actually run a charity for people, military families, especially people who find themselves in that kind of situation, which was really cool. I mean, he was always Chris Metzen, I've met him a couple of years, and he's always really a good guy. But to hear that he runs a charity was great. And when I finally got a chance to meet him, you know, maybe about an hour or 2 hours later, once he was fucking toasted, and so was I, I ended up talking to him, and Dan talked to him a little bit more, and we were talking about the whole military thing, and he told us a little bit more about it. And, you know, I told him, you know, that my brother was in the military as well. And Chris said, you know what? More power to your brother. You know, tell him hi for me. I really respect what your brother does. And, you know, it was really kind of see, I guess, from a geek culture point of view, that the whole kind of effort doesn't fall on deaf ears. You know, even people in Blizzard, you know, who makers of, you know, World of Warcraft and StarCraft, Diablo, people who play Blizzard games are military members, you know. Surprise, fucking prize, if you don't know the military members play Blizzard games, they play a fuck ton of Blizzard games. And actually, you know, we've had guys raid with us who are logged in from Iraq. I mean, that's how fucking into it they are.
That's cool.
Actually, quick story, and this will appeal to anyone who's ever actually done this. There's a guy in our guild in Astra Bromalis named Garland. And Garland's a good friend of ours. He came out to BlizzCon last year. And we've been friends with Garland for years. He's a big staple of Aston Bromalis. So if you're listening to this, Garland, hello, and we miss you. Anyways, Garland's son, Wes, who has also been in the guild for a while, we came to become friends with, he's in the Army, and he's a tank mechanic. A mechanic? He works on tanks. I know he works on tanks. We'll go that far. Excuse me, nerd plague. Anyway. Yeah, BlizzCon, dude. His son was on his most recent deployment at the time. He was actually out in Afghanistan, and we were doing 25-man Naxxramas, and we had some spots to fill, and Wes happened to be online, and so Wes, hey, come on out with us, you know. Well, Wes had a 4,000 ping, so
oh my
God. It was, yeah, if you don't know, that's 4 seconds. 4 fucking seconds. If you move forward, it takes 4 seconds for us to register that you've moved forward. So we're doing a fight called Thaddeus, which really involves people moving at the right time or you fuck the raid. And so we're getting set up and we're putting the groups together, and I was raid leading at the time, and I said, all right, groups 1, 2, you're going to go left side. Groups 3, 4, you're going to go right side. These healers are going to go this side. These healers are going to go this side.
Wes, hang back.
Yeah. And Wes was there with his friend who was also in Iraq, also had a 4,000 ping. Wes, your buddy. go stand in the fucking corner. We will fight this two men down. We're not going to wipe. Don't worry. You can still roll on loot because it's not your fault. And so, you know, and that's, it was just, it was fun. I mean, we're not going to sit there and be like, hey, you guys can't fucking do this shit. You can't come to our raid. These are friends of ours. You know, we've done this fight how many fucking times? So, yeah, we had a good time with it. So, but anyways, we're going to take a break because...
Well, hold on. Before you take that break, do you happen to remember the charity that Chris Metzen runs? I would like to know. I'm pretty sure our tens of listeners would like to know.
I do not know for sure. He didn't actually give us a name, but I will try to do some research, and if I can, I'll put it in the show notes for the episode. And if for some reason I don't have it in the show notes for this episode, we'll try to mention it next episode, because I would like everyone to hear it, because it's a really good cause.
I definitely would like to know.
Can I stick a link in the show notes, since we're talking about NACS and like 25 and shit we used to do with old people, of Nate fucking up the healing assignments? Can I link that?
Yeah.
In the show notes there. For those who haven't seen it, just, I don't really know how to explain it without giving away the whole humor of it.
Basically to say, a friend of ours, was he drunk or tired?
No, he was just that shitty at assigning heroes that night.
Yeah, I guess quick explanation, friend of ours running a different guild, fighting patchwork, in Naxxramas, horrible at fucking assigning healers.
It was just that one night.
Yeah.
He's not normally that bad. It was just like, I just had me recording vent that night, and it was like the worst attempt he had ever taken at assigning them.
Let's just say that healers got assigned several times to different things, and it's funny as shit.
I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, it'll go in there. So anyways, like I was trying to tell you before, we're going to take a break real quick, mostly because we've been drinking, and I'm sure a few of us need to use the bathroom right now. So we'll be back in a second, and hopefully we'll talk about more all the things, and hopefully it's not going to be this depressing
hopefully
next time.
Hopefully not.
Because we went from, hey, Battlefield, fucking awesome, to, man, people dying, that sucks. So
hey, it is all the things.
I hope none of you guys regularly think about slitting your wrists, because that might actually put you over the edge. And just remember, if you decide to, it's down the tracks, not across them.
Wow.
Steven is giving me the fucking blankest scare right now.
You're done. Cut it right there.
All right, fine. We'll finally fucking cut it. So that 10-minute break where we were going to go hit the restroom turned into an hour-long break. And since then, Gavin's left. Chow showed up and took off. And we discussed the finer points of not using the word A and the word tomorrow when posting things on Facebook.
And Cameron tried to break a door.
That was awesome. Kind of.
Stupid.
From my point of view, it was awesome.
Farted.
But anyways,
I might need that door.
Hopefully this isn't going to be the depressing half of the podcast.
It's 3 in the morning after we're all done drinking.
That's true.
Nothing like a depressant to chase away the blows.
So, Steven, you finally started doing your Twitch feed again. What did you play this week?
I began Shining Force 2.
Is that Genesis RPG?
That is it's not an RPG per se. I mean, there are characters in it, and you do kind of level them up, and you do give them very basic sets of gear, basically just weapons and whatnot. But it's more, I haven't played Final Fantasy Tactics, but from what I understand, it is like a simpler version of Final Fantasy Tactics, where you have, you know, basically the battlefield is a square grid, and each character occupies one square, and you move, you know, and they get a certain amount of move per turn, and it's all turn-based, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, and when we were talking about, like, there's a lot of things in Tactics that don't
Right. They just aren't the same. Which way you're facing doesn't really matter, because when you end your turn, you're always facing down anyway.
Got it.
So, I mean, it's just a real simple... I mean, I'm sure Tactics is better in almost every way, but I played Shining Force 2, so it's got the nostalgia factor going for me.
Yeah, exactly. And that was after streaming Mass Effect and Diddy Kong Racing?
Yeah, apparently I need to do another stream of Diddy Kong, because you didn't catch it, and... like I said, there was something... I remember going back and watching it and being like, oh, this ruins the whole thing. Ah, fuck it, and I just let it delete. But now I don't remember what it was.
Hmm.
So, I don't know, maybe I'll do another one.
Or I know that your stream of Secret of Mana inspired me to start playing Secret of Mana again.
I still think you should. We should do a two-player version of that, because your computer allies in that are fucking stupid.
Yeah, no, dude. Fucking dumber than a box of fucking rocks.
Well, like the number of times that you try to go around a corner and all of a sudden they start dashing into a tree.
Well, I mean, I've kind of been interested to try the netcode for like ZSNES or SNES 9X and see how it goes.
Yeah, I saw that. I kind of wanted to give it a try.
I wonder how the lag is in, you know, playing kind of like...
I remember for ZSNES, it was like beyond a certain version it doesn't work, so you both have to have the same version, and it has to be like a specific one. You can't just go to the website and be like, get newest version.
Actually, I guess, I don't think ZSNES works very well with Windows 7, so I downloaded
it. So it would have to be 9X?
Well, I mean, I could configure it a little bit more, maybe get it to work, but I tried SNES 9X, and I actually found one... That's like the emulator where people have just modded the shit out of it to do whatever they want to do.
Mm.
And so I found one copy that's completely meant towards recording the video of you playing, rather than having to get like fraps or something.
The reason I stopped using SNES 9X is because normally if I fraps with ZSNES, there's like almost no frame rate drop at all. It puts very little strain on my computer because ZSNES, I mean, it's a Super Nintendo. It's not very tough.
Yeah.
But the SNES 9X, holy shit. Yeah. Like, I don't know how the hell it was configured, but, I mean, it just strains my computer like no one's business. My frame rate drops to, like, 20.
It's probably just badly coded.
Oh, it's awful.
The, when I tried to record on this version of SNES, there was a, you don't lose frame rate, but you lose audio quality pretty severely.
Mm.
And, there's something wrong where it tries to, when I try to record into... an uncompressed format, or something where it's in full screen, and, you know, it just will actually look, you know, pretty clean, it just crashes my computer automatically. And so...
Not like the program, but your whole computer.
No, it's the program, but I mean, it crashes, it just randomly. And so I have to run compressed in, like, a DivX format or something, but it ends up looking fucking awful. Huh. Like, it just looks really, really bad.
I remember I actually tried playing Super Mario RPG in SNES 9X, and there was some major, the game didn't work. I can't remember for the life of me what it was. I want to say it was, like, the equipment screen, like, you couldn't register it properly. There was something severely wrong to the point that it was like, you know, I think I'll just use this other one here.
Well, there used to be a graphics limitation with Mario RPG. I know, what was it, the sequel for Secret of Mana had it? Seiken and Netsu 3?
Oh.
Yeah, there's actually...
That was Legend of Mana.
No, that was the PlayStation version.
Oh.
Actually, I would really urge you to go and check out Seiken Densetsu 3. Well, Seiken Densetsu is the series. That's the Japanese name for the series. And the first game was... well, in Japan it was Seiken Densetsu, but in the United States it was Final Fantasy Adventure. There was four Game Boy games.
Not Mystic Quest, but...
No, there were four Game Boy games that came out on the original Game Boy. I'm not talking Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, all that shit.
Yeah, Game Boy.
Yeah, there were...
Big, bulky.
Yeah, I think it was four double A's. There were four games that came out. There was Final Fantasy Legend 1, 2, and 3, and then there was Final Fantasy Adventure. Now, oddly enough, they were all called Final Fantasy, and I imagine it's because Final Fantasy was known in the United States. But Final Fantasy Legend 1, 2, and 3 were actually part of the Saga series. So if you've heard of Unlimited Saga or Saga Frontier...
I have heard of Saga Frontier.
Yeah, those are Square games.
Okay.
And they had a couple on PlayStation and PS2. I bought one at Target for $1 one time, brand new. Never played it. But then there was Final Fantasy Adventure, which was actually Seiken Densetsu 1, so that was the first of the series. And then they came out of Secret of Mana, or Seiken Densetsu 2 in the United States. And then in Japan, they came out with Seiken Densetsu 3 on the Super Nintendo, which was like a cleaner... Actually, it was a completely different game. I don't know what I'm talking about. It was an actual sequel, and rather than having your three main characters you normally chose and the way Magic was and all that shit, there was like a total of, I think, six characters. And you would choose your main character, and I'm probably mistaken on this, but I thought you also chose the other two characters you would come across.
Okay.
And,
Oh, so you didn't actually have a party to switch between. You actually picked, like, hey, these are the only other two that will show up for the whole game.
Yeah, well, because it had like, a serious, like, branching path to it.
Okay.
And so you had, I think the main character was Duran, who was kind of, you know, the warrior. And then you had one that turned into a werewolf. And then you had the, what's called the Battle Princess, like you have in every other fucking game. You know, the princess who runs away and decides she wants to go fight, and she's, like, super bad.
Well, you're just like in the first Secret of Mana.
Yeah, pretty much. You had different things. Like, when you hit level 10, there's a lot of, like, RPG conventions you end up seeing it where, you know, when you hit level 10, you can now choose between being this type of class or this type of class, and they play differently. And then when you hit level 20, you have this type or this type, you know, very D&D-like.
Still, that's a lot more customization than you saw in the first one.
Yeah, and the cool thing was is that by choosing the different characters, you had very different storylines. So, for example, if you chose Duran, you were the defender of a kingdom, and this dude comes in and either kills the king or steals the princess, I don't fucking know. Same shit that happens in every other RPG.
Well, it's like, did you ever play Star Ocean, any of them?
I played the first PlayStation 1 to come out in the United States. I think it was... Wait, hold on. I'm thinking Lunar. No, Star Ocean. I played Star... Yeah, the first Star Ocean.
Okay, I never played the first one. I've actually got the third one here, but the second one, there's basically two characters that the game kind of starts out with, and it's like, hey, who do you want to play as? Claude, who is a human...
I'm pretty sure that's the first one.
No, that's the second one, because I never played the first one.
Are you sure?
Absolutely. I would bet dollars to donuts on it.
Because I remember Claude.
Unless they reuse character names. But it was Claude and Rena were the two characters that you could pick
from. That was in the first Star Ocean.
That's the second one.
I think it's just one giant big game.
I guarantee you it's the second one. I will bet you money on it.
Then maybe they only came out with Star Ocean 2?
Maybe they didn't release the first one in the U.S.
Hmm.
I think I started playing that game, and I think I stopped because it was just like too fucking long.
Yeah, I remember being really
hard, too. I never finished it. I got to a battle where I was getting goddamn one-shot. But anyway, the beginning of the game very much branches out depending on... It's like the two characters don't meet each other for some time. And one starts as basically like a spacefaring guy. You know, it's very space opera and whatnot. And so you crash land on a planet and then you end up meeting people and blah, 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 blah. Whereas from Rena's point of view, it's like they're people who don't know that there's space travel and all this shit and like... Just some dude crashed down, and they're actually pretty good about splitting the points of view and how you kind of go about it and whatnot. So, I mean, that was cool. But, yeah, there was... God, the combat, and that was hard as hell.
Yeah, but it was cool, because it was kind of like... It wasn't the conventional, like...
Well, it was a free roam, it was basically a battlefield.
Yeah.
And then everyone roamed it, and it was all real time. It wasn't turn-based or anything.
But you actually moved your dude around, right?
Yeah, you'd control one character at a time. That was kind of ultimately what made it difficult, is there were a lot of enemies that were capable of cornering your allies, and then just continually hitting them over, and especially anything with a breath weapon. Holy crap. You actually see that a little bit in the third one, but it's not quite so bad. Yeah. I actually beat the third one.
Yeah, I think there was one of the most recent Star Oceans that came out. The entire game takes place on a spaceship. And I think it's just a huge prequel, like, leading up to that Star Ocean game.
I didn't even know there was another one that came out.
Yeah, no, there was one, about a year or two ago, I think.
Wow.
I can't remember what it was. I don't know, dude. If I want to play a Japanese RPG that involves, like, crazy space shit and ridiculous storylines, I'm just going to go back to Xenogears.
Did you ever try the Xenosaga games?
Yeah, I got to the last dungeon in Xenosaga.
Yeah?
And that's where I quit.
I got the last boss. My whole party was at full health. Every single one of them. Full health. Entire party killed in one attack. And I was like, done!
Like, right. Fuck it, I'm out.
And seriously, it's one of two games that I've ever gotten that far. And I was like, I'm not finishing it. And the other one was Final Fantasy VIII. And it's not even that I got to the last boss. Because I loved Final Fantasy IV and Final Fantasy VI, and I really liked VII. And then 8, you know, I really liked the first disc, but after it got to the point where it was like, Renoa's been kidnapped, go save Renoa. You saved Renoa. Renoa's been kidnapped again. Go save Renoa. She's been kidnapped again! And you're like, fuck! And that was the whole story, so I would put the game down for like 3 weeks at a time. I'm like, alright, I'll get through this crappy plot point, and then I'll move on, and the game will get better. And then it was, Renoa's been kidnapped, and it was like, alright, fuck it. And I put it aside for 3 weeks, and I just repeat the cycle over and over. And when I finally got to the last dungeon, it was like, wait, this is it? Don't even care. Done.
Game was so fucking bad.
Oh, I like the first disc.
You know, if we had a little bit more of a fan base, or we actually had a fan base and, you know, a place for people to actually talk about this, I guarantee we'd get fucking... You'd have, like, half the people be like, dude, fuck Final Fantasy VIII. That game sucks. Final Fantasy VII forever. And then you'd have that other half that would be, no, dude, Final Fantasy VII was gay. Dude, VIII's the shit. Fuck, love that game.
I'm always surprised when I run into people who like VIII. Because most people I meet are like, yeah, no, VIII was really terrible. And I always wonder if the people who are like, yeah, I really liked VIII, or the people who are just like, I just want to be that person who likes the one that no one else
did. Or did you like Final Fantasy VIII because that happened to be the first Final Fantasy you ever played?
Oh, it could be. You know what's funny? I knew a lot of girls who liked Final Fantasy VIII.
Yeah, me too.
Ones. But then again, it could be because, I mean, it was designed to be a very, like a, you know, that's, I mean, it's kind of anime-ish in a way, but it's like the school coming of age. I mean, it's a love story. I mean, it is. Renoa's been kidnapped. Go save Renoa. You know, I mean.
Well, I always love the, hey, you don't actually make money when you kill bad guys. We're going to give you a fucking weekly allotment like it's a job and give you a paycheck every week.
Everything. Well, and it had the material system, I remember, was what really pissed me off. To upgrade your weapons, you didn't buy them in a shop or anything. You had to get materials for them, which were random drops off enemies. And I got to the last dungeon with starter weapons.
Yeah.
I remember, like, Squall's sword, you needed screws to upgrade.
You
needed,
and you couldn't fucking find these things.
And I actually went online and I looked up. I was like, what drops a screw? Because I can't find them. And I found the monster, and I would farm them, and they wouldn't drop them. And it was like, I don't need this shit. Especially after I then went and played a game called Chrono Cross, where the materials actually dropped. It was like the same material system, but done well.
Yeah.
To the point where I was like, yeah, some of the hard-to-find stuff is hard-to-find, but it's not impossible for the basic materials.
It's funny, dude. Like, I have such fond memories of Chrono Cross going back, and yet that's an RPG that just gets shit-talked. Hardcore.
Really?
Yeah. It's surprising. It's
I
one
loved
of,
Chrono Cross.
Well, it's one of those, like, in retrospect things where people go back and they say, oh, dude, fucking Chrono Cross. Yeah, it was, like, it was really good at the time, but when you look at it, it's just, it's a mess, and you have to go through all this other type of shit. Oh, no, but the music's fucking amazing. I'll give it that. The music's amazing. I was like...
What don't they like about it even now as a retrospect? It's not like the combat. I mean, I don't think the combat is any less interesting than playing an older RPG. You have your... You know, basic...
I think what it came down to is that you'd have, like, a fucking stack of, like, 50 characters, only 5 of which you'd ever use. And so it's kind of like, okay, what's the point of fucking having all these characters and going off and doing all these stupid, all the stupid shit to get certain characters, like putting fucking Skelly back together, or...
What's the point of playing Pokemon when you're collecting 150 or fucking whatever and you're only going to use 7?
Like, true.
I mean...
But you get to fill out your Pokédex, and when you're done, you get a cool certificate that says, hey, you caught all 150. By the way, there's only 150 Pokémon. If you say otherwise, you're a fucking idiot.
Do you count Mew?
Mm.
I mean, yeah, that was like a Game Genie to get it, but it was part of the original Blue and Red.
There's 151.
Okay.
I know that Dan's going to hear this and be like, yo, dude, we're going to talk about this next week, and we're going to have the Pokemons.
We're going to get into this. No, I agree with you. Only 150, because I bought Blue, and my friend got Red, and that was all we played. And after that, it was like, I think I'm done.
I started playing Pokemon Fire Red the other day, and...
Fire Red?
It was a
They're
game.
They're out of so many colors that they have to go back to different, like, little variations on the...
No, it was, well...
Isn't that just like a DS version of the original Red?
Well, no, what they did was that, you know, you got Pokemon Red and Blue, or Red and Green if it was Japan. You got Red and Blue.
They didn't have... Blue wasn't the starter one?
Not in Japan. Mm-hmm. It was green. Mm-hmm. And then they made it blue here. I don't know. Apparently Americans don't like the whole red and green dynamic. It has to be two colors that are so vastly different on the spectrum. I don't know. It's fucking stupid.
You mean red to fuck yeah?
Yeah. So, The way Pokemon always comes out is they'll come out with the two games, so they did Red and Blue.
Yeah.
And then they made yellow, which was the Pikachu.
Was it the exact same thing as Red and Blue, except you started with a Pikachu?
Kind of. It was, well,
and then it had a surfing Pikachu or some shit.
No, well, it had Pikachu in it, and Pikachu followed you around, but it was actually, it very closely resembled the show, because there's a lot of differences in how the game actually pans out, as opposed to how the show panned out.
Oh my god, I remember we used to watch the show, and one of the big things they did was, we're going to have to go fight the psychic gym trainer, and in order to beat them, we need to get ghost Pokemon. Because I think Bug and Ghost were the two things that were strong against Psychic.
Yeah.
And in the original game, I think there were very few Bug Pokemon, and there was only, I think, like one attack that even did damage that was classified as Bug, and it was Leech, which did such shit damage that you couldn't rely on it.
Yeah.
And there weren't any ghost abilities. Even the stuff that they had, like Dream Eater, was actually technically a psychic ability.
Well, not to mention...
And even the bigger kicker was, every ghost Pokemon was type 2 poison, which meant that every psychic Pokemon that attacked it would be strong against it. So there actually wasn't anything that was super effective against psychic.
Yeah. Well, no, and not to mention, I mean, even if you really did want to try and get, you know... even if you really did want to try and get a ghost Pokemon to fight the psychic Pokemon when you fight Sabrina, you'd have to go out and catch a Ghastly, and then make it a Haunter, and then if I'm not mistaken, you couldn't get a Gengar without trading it anyway.
Trading, I think it was one of the four you had to trade.
So, when I played Fire Red, when I played Fire Red the other day, I just went in with my fucking tank, Venusaur, and just sat there and just soaked damage and fucked that dude's world. Like, that's all I did. I was like, Venusaur, go! And Venusaur never left the fucking battle. He just sit there and he'd be, like, fucking vine whip his ass or whatever the hell, dude. Yeah, I'm the 1%, by the way. But, that's a meme. People talk about being apparently only 1% of people that play Pokemon pick Bulbasaur. I don't know if it's a troll, if people are just trolling people with that.
I started with Squirtle.
Yeah, well, I think most people go with Charmander, actually. I think Charmander and then Squirtle's number two, and then Bulbasaur is like 1%. Huh. But anyways, back to what I was saying was, so they had Fire and Red, and then they came out with Yellow. And Yellow kind of, it was like the, let's call it the special edition of those.
Okay.
And then, so after Fire Red, or after Red and Blue, they had Yellow. Then they had Gold and Silver, and then, what was after Gold and Silver? Diamond?
I remember it started getting into shit where it was like, the what?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even colors that made any sense to me or anything, or even, like, dynamics that made sense
to me. Well, that was, they had
Diamond, Emerald or some shit like that.
Yeah, they had, like, I think it was Diamond. I think it went, like, Gold and Silver and then Diamond. And then they had Sapphire and Ruby, and then I think the one of that was maybe Pearl?
I don't know.
They go two.
I don't even know how many there are.
They go two and then a special edition, two and then a special edition, two and then a special edition. Well, eventually they hit a point where, rather than coming out with another Pokemon game and adding another 150, they started remaking them. So then they made a Game Boy Advance version of Red and Blue, except this time they went back to the Japanese style, so they made it in the United States. So it was Pokemon Fire Red and Leaf Green, and that was on Game Boy Advance. And then they came out with
Leaf Green.
Yeah, Leaf Green. And then they made Heart Gold and Soul Silver. And yeah, they redid all this shit.
What?
And then I think the Ruby and Sapphire versions that came out had the new edition of Ruby and Sapphire that came out before the most recent one, which was Black and White, had a pedometer in it, and so you could you take your Pokemon off the DS cartridge, you transfer them to the Pokometer, whatever the fuck it was called, and you would walk around, and when you would get a certain amount of steps, it would level up your Pokemon, and so all you do is you take the Pokemon that's in your pedometer, you transfer back to your DS, and now your Pokemon's gained a couple levels.
Wasn't there another device similar to that that was like a Pikachu, but it didn't gain levels or anything? It was literally just like...
It was like a Tamagotchi.
Yeah. Wasn't there one for a Pikachu, and it was just get steps, you know, just shake it to the... Because I seem to recall someone had it, and they would just... I know you can't see this because it's a podcast.
It looks like you're masturbating someone.
Yeah, exactly. But you'd have, you know, a little fucking Pikachu in your hand and just shake that shit all day.
Yeah. Well, actually, this is the best part. I think Dan did it. I know my brother fucking did it. Where was it Ruby and Sapphire or Black and White? I don't remember. It wasn't Black and White. It was the one before. They transfer a Pokemon to their pedometer, and then when they'd have to get up in the morning and go PT, they'd be out running anyway, And so they fucking stick the pedometer in the fucking the chest pocket of their fucking blouse and just fucking...
I would have loved to see their CEO catch on to that.
Exactly.
What the fuck is that?
Is that a Pokemon in your fucking shirt? Take that shit out right now. But they use that to... They use that to... they use that to level up their Pokemon. So, yeah, anyway, so the most recent Pokemon is Black and White. And then it was revealed on either Kotaku or IGN, I can't remember where I read it, that Nintendo copyrighted the term Pokemon Gray. So you take black, you take white, what do you get? Gray, that's your special edition. That's fucking great. Let's print it right now. I don't know what it's going to do. By the way, Steven's eyes were piercing my soul. Just like, what the fuck? Now he's rubbing his head.
Wow!
That's fucking ridiculous. And that's, I think they're up to 649 Pokemon now.
Let's go back to Dan's PokéRap from last week.
Yeah.
Good, no.
Cue the PokéRap.
Don't do it.
Did you hear Dan's PokéRap last week?
Do I need to?
He's like, we're going to do the poke rap. It could be 649. You ready for this, bitches? Boom, chik, boom, chik. Ditto. It's no, so true.
I was actually concerned he would start launching into it, and I was like, oh, God, no.
Apparently, our tens of followers slept. That was pretty amusing.
People in Katie's channel liked it. So, yeah, no, that was fun. But, yeah, so I tried to play Fire Red and Leaf Green. Fire Red, I should say. And I kind of got bored of it. And, that's when I started just painting a bunch of Warhammers. And, I reactivated WoW this week, which I know you guys are real unhappy
with. We were really shitting on you for that.
Yeah.
You know, and the funny thing, when you were over and talking about it, it was like, oh, that would be kind of fun to get a group together and, you know, like, you're like, oh, yeah, so I'm going to play a tank, and so-and-so's going to be this, and so-and-so's going to be this. And I'm like, I'm not hearing anyone volunteering for a healer role, and that's what I do really well. Like, maybe I should play. And then I thought about it, and I was like, wait. So we're going to a new realm. So I'm starting with no money, no one to send me money, no one to get me items. I'd have to get professions all over again and start leveling that shit from one to whatever we get it up to. I got to start doing the quest grinds again and shit that I'm already familiar with. If I'm going to heal, and I'm going to play a priest because that's what I'm fucking good at, which means I got to... Because I've actually started priests completely from scratch on 3 different servers now.
How many max level priests did you ever make? Anyway, we had a technical difficulty. So, anyways, back to what you were saying. So you've actually had 3 max level priests now.
Yeah, well, I mean, however, you know, as of currently, then no, I've only got the one. And even then, I stopped playing in January.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so I've maxed out a lot of priests, so it's like, oh god, I don't want to go through that crap again. Especially now that, you know, fuck, especially after I went through all the trouble of getting that goddamn archaeology trinket.
I don't think I'm ever going to max archaeology.
Well, now that there's actually better gear and it's not best in slot anymore.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if you really want to hear about my frustrations with archaeology, there's this website that I kept the blog going.
Yeah. Talk about how much I fucking hate life and all of you.
I made one little 7-second video that actually really took off. It still gets a lot of views and comments and whatnot. And like, I mean, it's 7 seconds long, and it's called like How Archaeology Feels in WoW. And it's just me digging over and over. I just kind of edit it all together as a constant digging at different sites going, days never finished, master, you know, just little fucking fake slave song from actually an episode of South Park where they're out at an archaeological dig, funny enough. And then I did this audio file that was kind of riffing on Mr. Subliminal, which was a Kevin Nealon character from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, that was fucking awesome.
And I posted that up, and then I did a public service announcement, which, funny enough, actually, on MMO Champion, there was a thread that was like, hey, you guys should see this thing, like, someone is, like, really bothered by archaeology. And I had made it as, like, and people in Guild, they were like, you know, I'm thinking about starting archaeology, I want to try and get Zinrock and stuff. And I would sit there and go, no, don't do it. You don't want to get involved in this. And it's like, you don't understand. I'm already quagmired in this.
I think when I was actually playing with you guys, I think I remember actually talking about that in GoChat. It's like, I think my little orc is just like, no, don't do it. Don't do it.
It was. And it got to a point where I was like, dude, I feel like an addict trying to tell someone, like, you don't want to go down this road. Like, I just take my example. It's like, this is not where you want to be. So I made a public service announcement for it that I didn't script out or anything. I was just, like, trying to explain how awful it was.
And it was supposed to be kind of humorous, as like, you know, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. But this thread on MMO Champion, they're like, you gotta listen to this. And people are like, oh my god, he sounds like he's about to cry. Like, he's so frustrated. He's like, I feel so bad. And there were some people who were like, I just want to give him a hug. Like,
Every time I saw you, you looked like you were going to cry.
And then other people would be like, fucking pussy, this fucking fuck that guy. Like, why are you taking this? And just going, like, really angry. Like, just very upset at me for me. And again, it was like, the whole time I'm like, oh my god, I have really generated something with this here. And I finally came back and posted that I was like, you guys know I'm kidding, right? Like, that's why it says public service announcement. Like, it's not really just, you know. But I had so much material of just how much I hate archaeology, and I wrote other articles that weren't even media. And I would have people post back. I still get responses every now and then that are just like, dude, every time I read this, it's like, now I know why I never started.
And if you guys want to see these great videos, look up Sasquatch God on YouTube. They're fucking awesome. Everything he does, especially the Smite video. That's my favorite video.
Bad motherfucker.
You guys still quote that crap.
It's funny, dude.
Dude, it's great. It's fucking power thirst for fucking WoW nerds. It's great. It's fucking awesome.
I think it actually is now the first search result if you type in Smite commercial. Like, yeah. I think that's, it's, you know, got that many views and whatnot on it.
Oh, I'm still going to get you a case of Smite for your birthday or something.
When is it? Birthday? That's not till next September.
I know, I fucked it up this year.
Came and went, pal.
Christmas. Christmas present. Get you a bike like we told you to last year.
Don't.
No. Buy me presents. All right, well, that's going to do it for this segment of the podcast. The next segment, we're going... it's actually probably just going to be me and Dan. If you're into Warhammer or tabletop RPGs, you'll probably appreciate it. If not, maybe you'll learn something, or you're just going to turn it off. So, but at the local games workshop near our house, they do a thing every weekend. It's called, I think it's like Epic Mega Battles or something. I can't remember what it's called. But basically, the owner of the shop gets together and teaches a different game every week, and it switches off between Warhammer and Warhammer 40K. And so since, you know, the last time they did it was Warhammer, tomorrow is going to be Warhammer 40K. So Dan and I are going to be in there because we're still trying to learn the game. We're still painting our armies. I've got two tactical squads, a dreadnought, an assault squad. I'm getting there, but, you know, we want to have our shit painted before we start playing. So anyway, enough on that. You'll hear about it more in the next segment.
So anyway, I just looked up Smite, you know, just the word Smite on my YouTube app, and it's number 6. By the way,
really?
Your commercial?
I'm actually surprised it's not further down because of
the game Smite.
High Res Studios, yeah. And
that's the first one that popped up. Yours is number 6, but that's also the app itself. It might be different on the actual website, but
still, that's cool.
I'm pretty sure it pops up pretty quickly on Google. Well, no, actually, because that's to get the priest thing going on. But anyway, well, that's enough for now. I like to have bandwidth, and if enough people download this, it's gonna be way too fucking long. So. Anyways, again, next segment, we'll be talking with Dan about Warhammer 40K. So, yeah. So just as I promised, we're outside the Games Workshop on Sunday. We just got done doing our epic mega battle for 40K, which happened to be a lot of fun. Great scenario we had today. I'm joined here today with Dan.
Sup.
And with Nate.
Yeah.
And Nate's not a 40K person. He came down to check it out and see what was going on and kind of hang out. Nate, you're probably not going to get into it, but did you kind of like what you saw?
It was pretty all right. I mean, it looked like D&D, but way more complex yet simplified at the same time.
Way more awesome than D&D, basically?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, we had a good time. For those of you who have played any tabletops or 40K, since it's the weekend before Halloween, rather than playing the normal game that we play, which is Orcs versus Space Marines, and just beating the shit out of each other, the owner of the Games Workshop here down in Games Workshop, Portola Plaza, if you're in Orange County, come check it out. The scenario we played today was there were six of us, and we all took a character and basically played all as Space Marine captains. And I got a chance to use my Chapel model, which was awesome. I got the Metal Marine out there for one of the other guys at the table, and then our friend Sam got to play as my sergeant in one of my squads with the power sword, which is cool. But anyways, he had all six of us set up, and then he had six ruined buildings, which counted as quote-unquote haunted houses. And what would happen is that you would move from the center, and you would move to a haunted house. And once you got there, you would roll a dice. And depending on if you got between one and a six, you would have certain things happen, like certain guys would come out or whatever. Now, the whole point to these haunted houses was getting gold coins. The person with the gold coins at the end of the match won. So it was kind of, we were on our own the entire time, but we actually managed to help each other out. And once that was all said and done, we had this big winged flying thing come in, Pit Fiend, which is a motherfucker, and that had four wounds, so we basically had to, all six of us, pile in on it and see if we could kill the damn thing. And it ended up being a lot of fun. There was, one person had eight coins, three of us had seven, so, you know, there was, I guess, somewhat a clear winner, but for the most part, it was a great game.
He ended up losing in the end.
Yeah.
Realistically, the person with the most coins ended up being the target of the Pit Fiend because he was pissed off that you killed so many of his zombie buddies.
And he was one wound away from death.
No, he had one wound going into combat. He got a second wound in combat, so he was one. At the end of it, he was pretty much damn near dead.
Yeah, so now, Dan, you've been here for the Epic Mega Battles for probably like fourth or fifth week now, yeah. And so we've done the normal battles from time to time. How did you feel about today's battle?
I actually learned a lot more, as most of you probably know. We're just getting into it. We're just learning, and this was great because it taught you a lot about just your individual squad movement, your distances, your basic combat. Much more, you're not so much worried about the strategy in this one. It's just you're going to fight, and you're going to, you know, try to beat the hell out of some people. So it taught you a lot about the armor saves, your attack rolls, your hit rolls, your wound rolls, your hazardous terrain, dangerous terrain, running, all that kind of stuff was really involved in this one. I learned a lot this week.
Oh, and the best part, too, is that since a lot of us have been there a lot, have been here from week to week, we've been able to do a little bit more advanced things today than we ever have, so we were able to get into a little bit more than we usually are allowed to get into. And at the same time, since Chris was really busy today and there was a lot of stuff going on inside of Games Workshop, we kind of got a chance to take control of the game for ourselves. So we actually, when it would be someone's turn and it was time to roll off against the zombies that came out, some of the other guys around the table would start to roll off as they were the zombies, and we really kind of got a better feel for the game. So that was actually, that was a lot of fun. I really look forward to more stuff like that. So
yeah,
it'll be good times. So you guys missed it last night. We recorded last night. It was funny that you guys were talking about it before we started recording here, but we actually had a big Pokemon.
I missed a Pokemon debate?
Yeah, you did. Well, you're going to hear it during the week, I know. You're going to be pissed off, and you're going to come back tomorrow wanting to talk about it.
I will have tons and tons of rebuttals to it, what everybody says, I guarantee it.
So, Nate, you just started playing, was it Leaf Green or Fire Red?
Leaf Green.
And what's your total group going right now?
Right now, I've got Alakazam, Gengar, Marowak, Scyther, Dratini, and Aerodactyl.
Awesome. And you just found out that you can get, is it Kanto or Johto that you can
Kanto
get to?
Kanto is your basic starting region, and Johto is where you go after that.
Do you think you're going to actually continue into Johto after you're done, or do you think you're going to stop once you get your badge from the Elite Four?
I'll definitely keep going.
You have to.
You basically have to.
If you want to finish the game.
There's a lot of items you can get, which will be far more beneficial. A lot of moves that don't unlock until then. Your different Pokemon that come out. I mean, it's much. It would be, that's like playing half a game and saying, you know what, I'm just going to try. It's twinking, and you're going to lose.
And since Dan and I are now playing Fire Red, or I'm sorry, not Dan. Since Nate and I are now playing Fire Red,
I will be starting tonight.
We have to, do you have Leaf Green?
No, I'm going to borrow Nate's Fire Red since he's playing through his Leaf Green, since you have my Fire Red, and I'm going to get in. We're going to do this tournament thing for fun. Let's see what we can do with it. So I haven't quite decided what my lineup's going to be. As long as Chow's not in it, it's not going to matter too much, but if Chow's in it, we're fucked.
Now when you start, are you going to be the 1%?
I'm always the 1%. No, I'm not, absolutely not. I'll probably start with Squirtle because turtles are awesome.
And I started with Bulbasaur, and as I said last night, I'm the 1%. Who'd you start out with?
I started out with Squirtle.
Okay,
but
so...
Turtle power? Yeah, I won't end up using Blastoise, though. No legendaries in the tournament, in our little tournament play, so your starter Pokemon are classified. They have legendary stats, so you can't really use them in your lineup at the end.
They do have legendary stats?
Legendary stats. Even if you go on, like, online tournament play, a lot of people don't allow legendaries in their games. It's kind of frowned upon because it's OP. It's taking in a stacked team, and your starter Pokemon are way overpowered compared to everything else.
So yeah, my Venusaur's out, which sucks, because my Venusaur's a fucking tank, and I love that thing.
What I was thinking is we'd actually do it for money, too. Just throw in, like, $5 for every person that gets first place gets 30% of the total pot, second place gets 20, last place gets whatever's left.
And we'd have to probably use your Game Boy Advances with the wireless.
Well, I mean, whatever the percentage is, I don't.
That was really bad math.
Yeah, it was.
50, 30, 20 would work.
Yeah, that one.
Something like that. So everybody walks away with something. So that'll be fun. Was there anything you wanted to add to the podcast this week, since I guess we're kind of cutting it short?
I've been playing Battlefield all week, and it's awesome. I'm loving the hell out of it. I'm playing through the storyline as well as multiplayer. The storyline's wonderful. As military, the conversations, they just, like, the very minor things they have in it, it's wonderful, and there's a lot that's said and everything like that. It's really good. Graphically, it's beautiful. The gameplay is a ton of fun. Online, it's a blast. It kind of went more towards Call of Duty style than Battlefield style when it comes to the way your unlocks work. But it's a lot of fun to play. They did the cardinal sin of every military game involving Marines on the planet. They still refer to them as soldiers, and they still will play as, like, they have the battle log, which is basically Facebook for Battlefield, and it announces your unlocks, and you have a like feature called HUA, and if you are military, you know that the Marine Corps says URA as opposed to HUA, which is Army. So, granted, it's a foreign game, I'm giving them credit, they did a lot good and a lot right. There's still those minor things that bug the hell out of me, but it's a wonderful game, and if you can pick it up, PC's the way to go.
And you'll listen to it as a week. I'm telling Dan this for the first time. We talked about Battlefield for quite a bit last night with Darren, and it actually kind of got a little bit on the depressing note, because we were talking about how people are knifed in that game, and apparently there's a place where, I don't know if you've gotten to it yet, but a guy actually gets his throat cut. In the single player, and so we managed talking about it, and it got in this really depressing thing of, like, how similar these games are now to actual, not similar to combat, I guess, but are becoming more realistic, and then we started talking about people on being deployment shot at and that type of shit, and so, unfortunately, it became the depressing all the things episode, but, you know, I think in the end there was a lot of good said, so, and I told you Chris Metzen's story. So from BlizzCon, so that was pretty cool. So that's going to wrap it up for this week's episode of All the Things. If you guys want to hear more or get any information or news from us, follow us on Twitter at All the Podcast. If you guys want to send us email and want us to read it on the air, it is allthepodcast@gmail.com. And we didn't really get any emails this week. Well, actually, I take that back. We got some emails. They were spam, and I actually really considered reading the spam on the air, because apparently I want a free iPad too. So we're not going to get around to doing that this week. So, like, follow our Twitter. Send us an email. If you want to follow me personally on Twitter, it's Mike_Furr, F-U-R-R-H. That's my username on Twitter. And, you know, hopefully we'll have a little bit more next week for us to talk about. To give a quick shout out, we've got several good friends of ours who are on Twitch, twitch.tv. If you don't know what it is, it's a place where you can sign on and watch people play games. There's a chat, you can interact with them and all that type of stuff. They'll be talking through voice chat and you can chat back with them. We do it on Minecraft, all that type of stuff. If you want to follow Twitch, it's for a couple of our friends, it's twitch.tv. If you want to follow Steven, who was on the podcast earlier, it's twitch.tv/Zevia. If you want to follow Katie, it's twitch.tv/KTSalz, so it's KTSALZ. And if you want to follow Bacon, or other Steve, I guess, who's hilarious, he got into the Dota 2 one, it's slash ninjelephant, exactly how it sounds, ninja and elephant minus the A in the middle. So that'll about do it for this week of All the Things. Stick around, because afterwards there is an epic trolling of Gavin that we kind of did in between podcasts. So enjoy the little extra. Have a good week, and we will see you later. I have never once heard of Minecraft.
What the fuck is Minecraft?
Is it a bunch of fucking monkeys on an island?
Probably.
No, tell me more about this Minecraft.
Fuck you.
No, seriously, I want to know more about this Minecraft. I keep seeing this thing about Minecraft on the internet all the fucking time.
You've seen it.
No.
Right, what it is it is imagine a blank this table, and you can everything is in square form, everything.
So this is a 2D game?
No, it's a 2D game.
There's no depth at all?
No, there's depth.
Oh, it'd be a 3D game.
The game is you build. It's a building game.
Okay.
You build your environment.
Uh huh.
And that's kind of like the fun game. It's kind of like a sandbox world where you just keep building.
Yeah.
And everything is squares, like that box head. Everything. Your character is squared. There is no curves in this game.
No, to be fair, if it was squares, that would be a 2D game, so you're talking cubes.
So, yeah, cubes. Everything's cubes.
All right, just want to make sure.
Everything's cubed.
Okay.
There is, and they're perfect cubes.
They're not rectangles. Everything is perfect cubed.
Okay. 1 meter cubes.
3D pixels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's, and it's just unlimited. You can do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. You can, and
it sounds like a block stacking game.
It really is.
But why would I just want to stack blocks?
Because you can build. Well, I think there's. I haven't physically played it, but I heard it's got a pretty.
Is it like Tetris?
No, it's more like
Legos.
Yeah, it's like Legos.
Oh, okay.
It's Legos on the internet that you can have, like, you can code Legos to do animations.
So all I do is stack blocks.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I figured you'd be into that.
What, am I retarded or something? Don't stack all the blocks.
I thought you actually played.
No, I don't. I've never played Minecraft in my life.
Oh, really?
No.
Why do you talk about it with me all the time?
I don't talk. Dude, I mentioned it to you because people play fucking Minecraft.
Yeah, right. It's got a huge client base. You know? I was like, what the fuck is this? So, like, my friend Linked. I was like, that's retarded.
So, all so
building, and it's like,
well, explain this. Explain the staying power to me again, then. Why would anyone want to sit there and play a game where all you do is stack blocks forever? Like, that sounds like the worst fucking game ever.
Ask Ellis.
You're right. Really it sounds like a retarded game, but I guess if it's like, if you build, it's like building a house of cards. It looks retarded, and then once you finish it, it's like, damn, I did that. Dude, I spent 12 hours and I built a castle that's about the size of my house.
You can reduce so many games down to sounding retarded if you want to get that simple about it. Trying to explain Rock Band or Guitar Hero or Dance Dance Revolution to someone sounds fucking dumb. But there's so much fun to play.
There is nothing better than playing a plastic guitar with plastic buttons and I hit the corresponding buttons when they come up on the screen.
That's flipper. Awesome.
With a flipper. And every once in a while I get to wah, hit the wah fucking thing.
If you really want to be badass, you just tip it up about another 45 degrees.
Get the
Star power.
No, seriously, though, tell me more about this Minecraft.
I really don't know much more.
So you mean to tell me that this game that's become a worldwide fucking, worldwide phenomenon about fucking stacking blocks, that's all there is to
There's
it?
There's no limits to it. There's absolutely no
There's
balance.
Nothing else? I don't get to kill shit?
You can...
I think
you can kill snakes, yeah. Like, it's just...
And zombies, apparently.
I think it's the idea that it's a completely open sandbox. There are no limits to what you can do.
I've seen a couple of videos of people who made roller coasters within the game that you can actually then go ride from, like, a first-person perspective.
Huh.
It's just the idea that it's completely free, like...
But then I could get Roller Coaster Tycoon if I want to make roller coasters. Just saying.
Just cynical, sure.
You are being cynical, but...
Stan is
I'm sorry.
Thanks, Stan. Love to see you on the podcast.
Well, I have been drinking tonight, so just saying, maybe my world's better now.
Wow. Mike has Asperger's.
You fuck this Minecraft. Dude, Minecraft sounds stupid, dude.
It is. I was curious about it because I could play on my laptop in class.
Would you say you were bi-curious about it?
Damn straight.
As you said that, he grabbed my thigh. That's awesome. Anyways.
You wish I grabbed your thigh.
So, you may not know this, but you might have noticed since I kept moving my phone around that I actually recorded this. And I've actually played the fuck out of Minecraft, so...
Yeah.
I know all about Minecraft. God, you play Minecraft.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure I've been in your house.
So if you just heard that whole thing of me trolling Gavin, that was awesome. All right.
It's all right.
I'm going to cut it before that, anyway.